This is the To-Do List of the Semi-Adult Podcast with Ray from Ray's Days and Jules from Oven Lovin', where we talk about never having it totally together, but faking it anyway.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Jules. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How has your weekend been?
Pretty good. We celebrated our anniversary with AJ's parents last night, so that was awesome. Nice. Obviously, I'm back in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. How's your family doing?
They're good. Dad is walking like miles with an S every day.
That's great.
And my mom is doing really well. She walked around the block the other day, and she is saying that she doesn't have too much energy, but she's doing more. So I think there's definitely progress.
Awesome. And congratulations on your anniversary.
Thanks. It was last month, but we're celebrating late, which is great because I love month-long celebrations.
Yeah, for real. That's a good point.
We're going to go out to Ohio next weekend.
Yeah.
To the little town where AJ proposed. It's called Chagrin Falls, Ohio. And we're going to stay for a little weekend escape. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's really sweet. That's a fun trip.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good. We didn't get to, we only spent like the evening there when AJ proposed. So I'm excited to spend some more time in the town.
Yeah. That's cute. Fun exploration.
How was your weekend?
It was good. I went with Michael to Indiana State, where they played Illinois State in football, and Michael's brother is on the football team at Indiana State, and so we went to see their game and spend the night and hang out with his family, and they lost the game, which was pretty sad, but it was fun to see everyone, and his brother played really well, so.
What position does his brother play?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I know he does punt returns sometimes and he's on defense. And their defense was really good. Like the Indiana State's defense was like really, really great the whole game. So
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was cool. It was fun to see them and see him play. Which I went to a game last year, but this was our first this season that we've gone to.
Does his family go to most of the games? Is it a far drive?
It was like about 3 hours to a home game. And when they're away, they try. I think his parents do go to a lot of them. And I think next week they're playing in one of the Dakotas. Where's Fargo? Is that in North Dakota?
I don't know which Dakota.
Anyway, they're going there to go to a school that's near Fargo. And I think his parents are going to try to go to that. And his other brother came to this game. And so I think people, you know, his parents go a lot and everyone else goes when they are able to.
That's cool.
Which is nice. It's really nice. I think it's so nice that they all go and support him and can go as much as they can.
Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah.
I feel like Sewell's always been, Michael has always been really supportive of his brother. I mean, I remember him talking about his brother in college.
Yeah. He has another brother who also played at the same college.
Oh, maybe I'm getting the two brothers confused.
Yeah, so they went, they would go to Alex's games, and now they're going to Mark's games. And I think for 1 year they were on the team together, but.
Cute.
Yeah, so it's cool.
What do you want to talk about today?
Oh, well, I was thinking we could talk about knowing what you want and how do you figure it out, which I realize is kind of a hefty conversation, but we'll see if we can tackle it a little bit.
Yeah, we'll try and keep it light, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you figure out what you want?
Well, I think when I think about what I want out of life or out of a job or a relationship, I often think about what I don't want, and so I kind of work backwards sometimes, and I think this applies a lot in dating too, specifically, because you might like date a lot of people and you're not gonna marry everyone you date, but you've learned more about yourself and what you want out of a relationship and what doesn't work for you, and then you know make better decisions the next time. And right. for jobs too, I think that, I mean, and everything, I think it could apply. But like one example I have is I worked nights for one summer at a newspaper. I worked in the copy desk and I worked nights like 4 to 11 or 4 to 12 or something and did that for a while and it didn't work for me. So I don't want to work all nights all the time because it was not my favorite schedule. So I tried it for a while and now I know that that's something I don't want. So if that's the schedule that a job has exclusively working nights, I probably won't take it. I'll look for something else.
So yeah. I think that there's some like element of like a process of elimination that you go through in your 20s and 30s, maybe mm-hmm. trying to figure out what you want. And I think that's okay and expected, and it's all right to try different things. And then if you decide you don't really want to do that, that's totally okay. You didn't waste the time. You're just like,
yeah.
adapting your needs and your wants.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important to think too, is like what you want changes. And so you don't have to figure mm-hmm. out everything you want exactly right now. It can be okay to want something right now and change your mind and you don't want that later, or you want something different. Right. I think that's totally okay and good.
Well, and I feel like I've encountered a lot of people during my life where they talk about wasted time, or they talk about how their wants changed and how they're regretful of like their early wants. But mm-hmm. I feel like you're only making the best decision for yourself at the time, and you only have so much information at that time.
Yeah.
And if it turns out to not be a great decision down the road, just change your course. Like, it's okay that you made that decision. You shouldn't like get down on yourself for making the first decision when you didn't have all the information, that you didn't like working nights, or you yeah. didn't like an inconsistent schedule, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I think that's really important to think about. And yeah, you only want what you want now because of what you've been through in the past. There's no way you right. would be that person, you know? So I think, yeah, that's really important to keep in mind, not to get too hard on yourself for not knowing earlier what you know now, because that's just impossible.
I read an article about knowing what you want, and this was on, we'll post the link, but it was on the Huffington Post, and it's primarily about dating, but one of the things they mention is that a lot of straight women feel like they want to date a man that's taller than them, but mm-hmm. that the person should really analyze what feeling they want from what they're stating. So, for example, if you're saying you want to date someone taller than you, are you saying that you want to feel feminine and be around someone who's really confident, or mm-hmm. is it really about height? And if it's about height, that's fine. But if it's about like a man having more confidence and making mm-hmm. you feel like small and protected, you might not, you can find that in another person who's not that tall also.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point. Because I read a similar article on Oprah's website, I think, that we'll also post, that said to try to help you figure out what you want, look for the feeling of what you want and ask yourself that question, which I think helps too, because a lot of people think they want this new job or new house or new thing, and then they get it and they still feel the same and it's not good enough. And so if you really think about the reason you want something and what's behind it, that can help you be a lot more satisfied in general. And like, I think my example is, I like the idea of owning my own home, and whether it's mm-hmm. like a house or a condo or something like that. And it's not that I want money in a big mansion, which I mean, I wouldn't say no to, but that's not what I'm after. It's that I previously in the past have had a landlord who chose to sell my apartment and I had to move unexpectedly. And so I would like to be in control of my own home and be able to stay there and not have someone else making those decisions. So really, yeah. So I'm after like the security of
right.
being responsible for your own place. So that's more what I would like instead of just a big fancy house.
Or like the status of owning your own home.
Right. That's exactly.
Not what you're after.
Yeah.
Is there like a period, do you regularly reevaluate what you need or what you want?
Yeah, I guess so. I think a lot of times around New Year's, I'll kind of look at some goals for the year. And a lot of that's in experiences too. Like, I'll have goals of different things I want to try or focus on. And so, yeah, I think I'll evaluate that. And I think even daily you can kind of check in and be like, am I good? Like, am I on the right path? Am I still good? And kind of, it doesn't have to be a huge, I don't know, life evaluation every time you're looking at what you want.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's just as simple as, like, I'm having a bad day and there's no real reason for it and I need to stop and figure out what's wrong and what I need to do to fix that. And sometimes it's like an overarching, like, oh, I haven't been to the gym in a week and that's probably why I'm feeling bad. Or it's like a very simple, like, I'm really hungry and I need to eat something.
Yes, that is usually responsible for 99% of my bad moods or freak outs. It's because I'm, like, hungry and need a snack.
I think that's normal. I think we all give you a hard time for not always recognizing your hunger maybe as quickly as you should. But I feel just as guilty as you about not realizing that I'm starving and that I am really cranky.
Yeah, it's like you get busy, you know. But I this is maybe even another topic for another podcast, but I think if you can meet your basic needs of, like, sleep, water, and food, then life seems, like, infinity less overwhelming.
Right.
When you have those basic needs met.
Right. Oh, I also wanted to mention, I think this period of our lives, you know, is what I mentioned before, like trying to figure out what you want and going through this process of elimination of what you don't want. But also, I feel like I have to exercise a ton of patience all the time. And the best example I can give is my parents. They bought a home and was able to furnish it like pretty easily. Like, that was an easy thing for them to do. This is just what they did. And I can't do that now, you know. I know that they did this right after I was born, but I couldn't buy a home and fill it with new furniture at all.
Right.
And I have to keep reminding myself that they were older. Like, they were 10 years older than me. And that, you know, some things that you want just don't coincide with where you're at in life right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's really hard to remember. And yeah, it's like we're young and we're trying to figure stuff out and it just takes a really long time to get it all together.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is hard.
Yeah, it does. It does take a long time. And it's hard to not feel bad about it, I think.
Yeah.
Because I feel like my parents are, like, a really great example of success, and I'm not where they are. But,
yeah.
You know, so, but I think patience is important.
Yeah, I think so, too.
What do you do when people don't accept what you want or they make comments about what you want?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think growing older has helped me be a lot more comfortable in my skin and more comfortable with what I like and what I want. I don't really know any advice for that except for time and, like, hang in there and it'll get easier, which is what I found for me. But, yeah, so I don't know. So I feel like the first thing is to know it's okay to want what you want, and it doesn't have to be what everybody else wants or what everyone else is doing, and that's a totally okay and acceptable thing for your life. And I think it's especially hard if it's kind of different from the pack, like if what you want is kind of different than what a lot of other people want, and people can get kind of judgy, you know? They give you judgy eyes or question or don't believe you, and so I think you just have to check in with someone who loves you and supports you, and I think it's important to have those people, and then just kind of stick to your guns. And if you just don't, I don't know, it's not as easy always as just don't listen to the haters, but kind of don't listen to them, because you know yourself and you know what you want best. And so I don't know, I guess, because
recently, I just got my hair done, which is a small minor example, but I just dyed my hair and I got it purple, which I was like really excited about. The bottom part of my hair is kind of a light purple. And I was really excited. Good. Thanks. I was like pumped to do it. It was like fun. I'm at a time in my life where I can do it. I'm not going to like be in anyone's wedding pictures or go to this really important interview. Like that's not happening for me right now. So I felt good about this fun change for a while. Then it's temporary. It's hair. And I almost didn't want to tell people because I didn't want them to like talk me out of it or to say, you know, that's not a good idea or it's unprofessional or it's this or it's that. And so, you know, I told a couple of my close friends who were excited for me and then I just went and did it and it was really fun.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that too. Like, it's okay if you don't tell people. You don't have to volunteer what you want out of life. You don't have to do that. You don't have to volunteer how you want your nails, or you don't have to ask people.
Right, because you don't need their permission or approval. Right. You can just do it.
Right. And so, you know, I think where I run into issues is when people ask me direct questions and then I answer in a surprising way. Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to lie to people. But so the biggest thing that happens with me is when people ask my husband and I if we're going to have kids. Uh-huh. And the answer is no. And AJ and I have very different approaches on this because he just lies. Like, he just is like, no, we're not ready. You know, like, gives a standard. And he doesn't get any flack for that. So maybe I should start. But I always say, no, we're not. We're not interested in children. And the reactions I get to that is just really insane. But I think what's actually happening is by me saying, no, we're not interested, people feel like I'm judging them.
Yeah.
And so they get defensive and they react and they say, you know, well, kids are the best thing. Like, why don't you want kids? Or you'll change your mind or all of these things. And it's like, well, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying, I'm just answering the question you asked me. I don't know what to tell you, you know?
Right. Well, and two, I honestly think that like AJ's going to get a different response anyway when he answers that question.
Right.
He's an older man and people will be like, oh, okay, but you're a young woman. And so people will second guess you anyway and like wonder why you don't want this motherhood thing that lots of other people want, you know? And so it's, you're in kind of a harder spot, I feel like, to, not that you should have to defend yourself, but it's.
But I feel like that's what it comes down to. Like, those, the people that are asking, that's how the conversation devolves.
Mm-hmm.
And arguably, like, that's a pretty rude question to ask anyway. But I think it's so typical when someone gets married that that's just what happens. But that's what it devolves into. It devolves into, like, an argument where we are arguing over this, like, really important controversial subject of bringing humans into the world.
Yeah.
And like, we're gonna disagree. Like, there's no common ground here. Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
But I think you just have to be okay with the sort of societal repercussions that come with your decisions.
Right. Well, and you know what kills me too is that if this were in reverse, like, no one ever second guesses someone who wants to have kids. No one's like, oh, are you ready for that? Are you sure? It's really hard. It costs a lot of money. Like, can you handle the responsibility? Like, and that, I feel like that, you know, I don't know, is like a bigger decision or just as big because you're, like you said, bringing another human life into this world. And if you're not interested, if you don't want that, if you're not fully committed, then don't do it. Like, I applaud you for that because you shouldn't be a parent if you don't wholly want to be a parent, you know?
Right. You know, and I think what happens, I think in our society, I'm sort of going on a tangent, but I think in our society, a lot of pregnancies happen and they're unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
So people are sort of forced in a way into making this leap into parenthood, and then they realize it's really fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But so I think that they feel like maybe they weren't ready or maybe they didn't want kids at that time and it just happened and now they have kids and it's wonderful. And so they try and like talk you into it, but you know, we're cool.
Right. Well, yeah, I can't imagine. It's like you don't know all the information. Like, oh, if I just tell Jules how great kids are, then maybe she'll understand. It's like, no, you're like an adult woman who has met a child before in your life, like, I think you get it. Like, you have all the information.
Right. Well, and I like kids. I just don't want to have my own, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah. And I can't imagine, going up to someone and being like, let me talk you into some huge life decision that I think you should be doing. Like, that's a crazy thing to me.
I know. It's really interesting. I find it very fascinating. And I first thought, like, you know, maybe my grandma, maybe some older relatives or some older women at work. But it is, like, young people also.
Hmm.
It's really fascinating. But it's only people with children. Like, single people don't ask me.
Yeah.
Or people who don't have children don't ask me.
That's interesting.
That's why I think it's like they think I'm judging them for having kids, but, you know, have as many as you want.
Right.
So do you feel like, so you've had your hair dye, I'm going backwards, but you've had your hair dyed for a week?
Yeah, like a little over a week, I think.
How do you feel like the response has been, like, out in public or with people you know?
Mostly positive. I don't know if it's just because I hang out with polite people who are, like, too nice to say something bad to me. But, like, I've had, like, a generally positive reaction to it. Someone today earlier stopped me and said my hair looked cool, which was nice. And
a stranger on the street?
Yeah, it was a stranger on the street.
That's awesome.
I know. So that was cool. And, like, my family's good. My friends are good. And they all think it's, like, fun. And, or they say they think it's fun and cute, which is fine. And you know, it's like, it's just the bottom of my hair. It's not like my whole head is neon purple, which even if it was, that would be totally cool, but it's like not that shocking, you know? And, I can pull it back and you can hardly see it. And so like when I went into the office, I just pulled it back to be a little more professional and it wasn't a big deal. So it's been mostly pretty good.
That's good. Yeah. I also think, sometimes people will surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And totally, if you find the right person or you find someone who's, you know, cool and you tell them what you want or what you're looking for out of life or whatever, then it's kind of fun when their reaction is positive.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, it's people really admire someone else being sure about themselves.
And absolutely, yeah.
So when you see that in someone else, even if it's not what you want or what you would do, I think it's really, really cool when people can be comfortable with themselves and show what they want to the world. Like, that kind of vulnerability is really admirable. And so I think people respect that, even if it's not, you know, not always. There's some nasty people in the world, of course. But, like, in general, I think people really admire other people doing what they want and taking a risk and being comfortable with these decisions.
So. Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true. And I also think that maybe people who don't admire that are maybe either jealous or unsure of how they can do that in their own lives.
Yeah, no, I feel like that too, largely. Yeah, so. I don't know. I think it's been a really fun experience, my hair, which is, like a minor thing, like, it's just, like, hair dye and it's temporary or whatever, but it was kind of fun to, like, have this thing that I want that I wasn't sure about, and then I did it, and my hairdresser was, like, super pumped about it, and that was really fun, and the experience has been largely positive and fun, and so it was kind of fun to, like, take a risk into some direction of expressing myself the way I wanted to. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, even though, you know, you're saying it is hair and it's minor, but it is, I mean, you did, like, take a risk.
Yeah.
And you did do something that maybe isn't acceptable in society's, like, quote-unquote ideal beauty standard or, you know, in the professional world or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that that is a positive experience for you and it's been good.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, to take bigger risks in going after what you want, I think it helps to take smaller risks going after what you want. And, like, you do that and you do it successfully. Or even if it goes bad, like, you survive it. And so that builds confidence to go on to the next bigger thing that you want.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, taking risks is really hard.
Yeah.
And I think it might get harder the older you get.
That's interesting.
Because I feel like you have more at stake, right? You know, when you're 15, like, you don't have shelter, really. I mean, if you're coming from a good situation, you're not, you don't have shelter that you need to worry about. You don't really have bills you need to worry about. But then as you grow older, there's more that you could lose.
Yeah.
If you make the wrong decision. But I also think that there's probably more to gain from a risk that you take as an adult.
That's really interesting. You know, that's kind of a funny thing that you say, because a lot of risks I've taken lately, it's kind of been like, well, I'm young, like, I'll do it. Or people will say that to me, like, you're young, might as well try it. And I never really thought about, like, what happens if you're not young and want to do it.
I do think that you start caring less and you're more apt to, like, own your own feelings and your own wants and your own needs. But I think that you have more to lose as you grow older. And, well, I was worried about that because I just chopped all my hair off. And I was, like, really concerned that I was too old to be able to grow my hair out again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems to me at a certain age, like, all women have short hair pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really worried about that and had, like, you and AJ and, like, several people had to be like, no, like, you're young enough. It's okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of all over the place today, but I do think that practicing taking risks and using small risks to launch you into bigger risks is a good way to go about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing, too, of, like, you don't have to have everything you want figured out right now. Like we said, like, I think that's possible. Right. And so, like, if you take little ways to get there, then you learn more as you go and figure more out about what you do want. So, like, you can move in this direction and do a couple small things that help you learn more about when to take your big risk to go after what you want.
Right, right.
So you don't have to do it all at once.
Well, and I think it's okay to, like, wait and see how things feel for a while, too. You don't always have to, like, be moving into a direction. Like, try this out. Stay where you're at for 6 months. And then if you don't like it or you like it, like, make a choice then.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah. I think trying it out is good. And you only learn more that way. Like, try it. See if you like it. You learn more about what you do and don't want. And then go on to the next thing. And then you have a better idea, you know? So it doesn't have to be the perfect situation right now. You just need to try something or do something. And then you learn more about what you want and have more information to make your next decision.
Absolutely. Do you feel... have you been in a situation where you felt stuck before, like you can't make a move?
I feel like everyone's probably felt that way at some point. I'm trying to think. Not recently, I haven't felt like that, but I know I have felt that way before, and just so overwhelmed, and you just don't know what to do.
And yeah, like, paralyzed, pretty much. Yeah, like, yeah. There's no, you feel like any move you make is the wrong move. I sort of felt like that in my old job. Yeah. And I really struggled with, like, trying to figure out what to do and how to approach it. Because I feel like, especially in your career, you have very little control. So you're not really responsible for when you get promoted or when you get a raise. Other people are responsible for that. And you can certainly do things to help that along, but you don't really have that control.
Right.
And I feel like it's really hard sometimes to overcome it. But then I think about when, like, for me in my old job, when that happened, I just, like, set a deadline. Like, if things haven't changed by a year from now, and I think I think my deadline was a year, then I'm going to find a new job. And that's what I did, and it worked out.
That's great. I think that's a really smart idea to set a deadline. And I think when you get like that, it's, I don't know, it's like, it's so hard because you feel overwhelmed and stuck and you don't know what to do. But I think literally doing anything different is a good step. Even if it's a mistake, even if you go backwards,
right,
it's something different to help you get unstuck.
And I feel like that feeling can become so overwhelming so quickly. Like, one day you're, like, plodding along, and the next day you just can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think it's – and for me, it's always been like, okay, I'm going to set this deadline, and I instantly feel better. Once I have that set, then it's sort of, like, out of my control. I'm making a decision to just see how things go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then – at that deadline, you can decide to extend it if you want. You know, it's not set in stone. Right. Like, you can figure it, you know, But it just, like, tables things in your mind and keeps things from getting crazy.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. Yeah, I just think making any kind of move in any direction, which I know is, like, easier said than done, right? Because you're, like, stuck and panicking, and so you feel like
absolutely.
You can't. But then, like you said, like, make a decision to set a deadline then, or put your resume together, or do
yeah, don't something. Even, like, send it out. Just, like, yeah. Be prepared to send it out.
Yeah, or, like, you know, change your schedule if that's possible. Just, like, do some kind of different thing than what you're doing. And that, I think, gives you power then because you made this decision and it changed something. So then you can hopefully go on to make other changes or other decisions. But I don't know. It's so hard when you feel that way.
Yeah, it's just it is hard. Really hard. I know, but I think also, I mean, obviously you and I both favor lists.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes if I'm struggling, like, I will sit down and make a pro-con list or sit down and make a list about all of these other things that I might be willing to try during my life in a mm-hmm. career or whatever. Definitely. And even if it's not really useful later, it gives your mind a way to focus.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I knew someone who did that, but with their skills. They, like, listed all these skills that they had.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Kind of looked at how they could apply that to different things. And I think, too, like, taking a class or joining right. a group or something that you can do outside of work to learn more about what you want and what you're good at is another good decision. Where you're not, like, radically – you don't have to radically change things. If you don't, if you're not ready for that yet, another way to figure that out, another baby step is to do, like, a class or a group or something where you can work on that and kind of feel more in control.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think our takeaways from this are it's okay to not know what you want. It's okay to know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Own it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel stuck, do something.
Yeah, literally anything.
Right.
Different. Even if cool. you feel like it's going backwards. Yeah, I think that's good.
And don't listen to the haters. I think that's something you said.
Yeah, don't listen to the haters. And if you are worried about the haters, call out me and Jules and we'll help you. We'll be your friends.
We will give you so good pep talks. Many good pep talks. Sounds good. Cool.
Yeah, are you ready for a lightning round?
I'm so ready.
Okay, what has your favorite outfit been this week?
Oh, we went shopping last week, and I bought purple plum-colored slacks.
Ooh, that sounds cute.
So, I think, like, on my first day back to work on Monday, I wore those with polka dot, like, button-down.
Cute. I love polka dots.
I know. They're great. They're cheerful all the time.
Yeah.
What was your favorite outfit?
I think I posted it on the blog. We'll link to it. I also had polka dots in my favorite outfit. I had jeans and, like, this polka dot button up, and then I put the sweater over it. And,
oh, yeah, that looked really cute.
Yeah, thanks. Michael called it my Twin Peaks sweater because it kind of has, like, woodsy colors and kind of reminds me of that show. But it's, like, it's a good fall sweater, I think. So I wore that. That was my favorite outfit.
I'm pretty stoked we're in fall.
Right, yeah, now. Me too. I love fall.
What are you reading right now?
I just finished The Magician's Land by Lev Grossman. It was a third book in a trilogy, and it just came out, I think, a month or two ago in August, and I really enjoyed it. It was really good, and so I just finished that recently. I got it from the library and read it pretty quickly, and it's about That's this good. Kid who has, he finds out we can do magic, and he goes to college to learn how to do it, and it sounds like Harry Potter, but it's really not. And it's like a very serious skill that you study, and you need a lot of, like, technical skills and a lot of knowledge to be able to do it. And he and his friends graduate and have to kind of deal with the real world and realizing that they're still not satisfied, even though they have magic and can do all these cool things. And they find this, like, other land that is kind of Narnia-ish and have a lot of crazy/dark adventures.
Okay. You said it was pretty dark, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty dark. And the second book in particular, there was one scene that I really kind of struggled with reading because it, like, upset me a little bit. But, yeah, it can be pretty dark. I think this one was also dark and dealt with a lot of adult things, but it was also sweet sometimes, so that kind of helped offset the darkness.
That's good.
Yeah. What are you reading?
I'm reading nothing, which I'm sort of embarrassed about, but sort of not.
Because no, it's also okay.
I've been cross-stitching a bunch.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm working on Starry Night, Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night, and so when you do a big project like that, you do each color at a time, and you go in the order of the colors that uses the most stitches at first, and then go down. And so I'm getting to the point where I'm changing colors a lot, and it's coming together. So I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah, I briefly flirted with the idea of embroidering Christmas cards and then decided not to because that will take me like
6 years. That'd be so much work, but it would be really cool.
Apparently they sell like embroidery Christmas card kits, which intrigues me, but I'm just not sure how realistic that is.
Yeah, that's a lot of embroidery.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
I will post a picture of where I'm at with this cross stitch in our show notes because I'm mostly just really excited.
Yeah.
Are you cooking anything delicious?
Yes, actually. I can answer yes for the first time in a long time. you turned me on to this, actually. We got Blue Apron. I signed up for Blue Apron, and they send you ingredients to make a meal, and you can sign up for different packages. So I am getting ingredients for 3 meals a week sent to my doorstep, and it is amazing. It's so great because they send you, we just had done 1 week so far, and everything was really, really good, and they send you all the ingredients. You don't have to worry about it, and the directions, and so I'm, like, learning how to cook better because they make it really easy, and everything we've made has been good.
Yeah, we did it for a long while, I think over the last winter and for the first part of the summer, and we only had, like, one bad meal out of weeks and weeks and weeks of good meals, so I feel pretty good. And I was kind of concerned about how once you get the first box and you realize, like, how well everything stayed cold or frozen, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. So, yeah, so I'm really, really relieved to have signed up for that and taken some of the shopping and deciding.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, what have you been
Well, doing? I think I said on the last podcast that I have been craving banh mi for, like, I don't know, since you moved to Chicago, basically. And I made banh mi-inspired meatballs. Over like a quick pickled carrot and radish salad, and it was amazing.
That sounds so good.
AJ was working late that night, and so I made a full dinner, and then, you know, I portioned out half for myself and then left the other half for him, and it took a lot of willpower to not eat his half, which would have just been really mean. Somehow he would have figured it out when he came home and had no dinner.
Yeah. No dinner. Yeah. Well, that's
it was good. I'll post the link to the recipe.
Okay. Awesome.
Cool. Well, good talk.
Yeah. So, where can we find you?
I, Jules, am on ovenlovinblog.com, on Twitter at JulesZ with a Y, or on Instagram at Jules Frainer. What about you?
Cool. And you can find me, Ray, at raysdays.com. I'm on Twitter at RCL Newton and on Instagram at Ray Newton. Thanks for listening,
everybody. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.